We can turn to the second part, and I can just give a brief introduction. The real purpose behind this is to raise some fundamental questions and explore the legal, political, and social possibilities of a new initiative to go back to the ICJ. And one of the reasons that our discussion starts from a wider framework is because we believe it's clear that the current political structure, as John alluded to, is not going to provide us as much support as there is. It's not going to provide us with the conclusive support we need simply because it is controlled by those who have a vested interest and a stated intention of retaining their nuclear weapons. And therefore, the idea that ultimately law is founded in society, and ultimately law is the result of a social process, becomes particularly significant. And essentially we're asking the question, there's so many organizations, Alan's been running John's been very, very active with the lawyers, Alan with the parliamentarians, and with many others as well. There are so many organizations in civil society that have already been working very hard for many decades to make a contribution to this. And a question before us, is there something more that could be done at the level of society, at the level of a social initiative, to prepare for a change in law on this issue? That is the fundamental question before us. Can we promote the evolution of international law? In fact, many organizations have been trying to do it and successfully doing it in an incremental way. Is there a way that we can activate global society on a larger scale to weigh in on this issue of nuclear weapons and help to push the momentum across the decision line to really influence a legal outcome if this issue is again presented to the ICJ as we have simulated in Winston's article. It raises a number of fundamental issues. Do individuals and groups have an inherent and inalienable right to freedom from the threat of nuclear weapons? Do the world's citizens have a sovereign right to representation and exercise of political will independent of the structures and policies of the nation states in which they reside? Do non-nuclear nations have a right to declare that the use and possession of nuclear, the vast majority, of course, of these weapons is illegal? Are there salient principles of international law and human rights that override the authority of unrepresentative and undemocratic international institutions? I think clearly, Alan, I see a hand up. Is that was that a fresh hand or the old one that I didn't notice? If there is something you would like to say, you're welcome to do so.
No, sorry, that was the old one. I don't know how to turn it off.
Okay. Well, just click it again, but Ron and Ike will do it for you. Are there sufficient grounds to justify a review of the ICJ advisory opinion? Winston's article makes a case for that, and I will hear from John Burroughs because I know he's done a lot of thinking and writing on this and has brought out some other perspectives. We'll hear from both Winston and John on this issue. there changed circumstances that would justify that? And if there is, what would be the most effective strategy to effectuate a review? And the idea which the Academy has been exploring, both within itself and in a preliminary way with other organizations, such as Doug Roach, chairman of Middle Powers Initiative, Alexander Lipitor from Green Cross International, and others, is there the possibility of an initiative that we could take together? That is, global civil society as a whole and not just as individual organizations, that would create an institutional mechanism for humanity to express itself socially before we are in a position to express ourselves politically, but in an organized way. And the proposal originally put forth by Ivo about 15 months ago and reflected in the second issue of Cadmus, I guess it was the possibility of organizing a global referendum. And we can discuss this. It's a big topic in itself. But with a view to allowing global society to weigh in on this important issue. So with that, I'd like to open it. Perhaps we'll start. Winston, would you like to make some remarks? And then John, and then we can open it for more general discussion. Your mic, Winston.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, very clear.
One way in which we can look at this is that the a campaign to at least have a legal pronunciation that nuclear weapons are unlawful in all circumstances is as a specific target, and it has some, shall we say, history behind it that is consistent with what we're trying to do. I was reminded that in the dissenting judgment of Viramantri, he says that a wide variety of groups have exerted themselves on this issue. Environmentalists, professional groups, doctors, lawyers, scientists, performers, artists, parliamentarians, women's groups, peace groups, student federations, too numerous to mention. It's quite clear that however uncoordinated, there was a voice of some form of collective solidarity that was able to plug into a formal institution that has some relevance to the question of the lawfulness of nuclear weapons. So there is a bit of a precedent, and the question is, can we develop a strategy and the tactics of mobilizing the global sovereign commons, if you like, in a much more concerted way, in perhaps the form of a referendum that brings the pressure of the non-territorial side of the global community to a target, and that target is the nuclear weapons issue, and the institution is, of course, it will have to go through the UN to the World Court for a review. That is, I think, a combination of a goal with the possibility of strategies and tactics that may actually have a broader implication for the mobilization of and participation of the sovereign commons of global solidarity in the rule of law project as a whole, but particularly targeting now the nuclear weapons issue. And I personally think that the 1996 decision, although it made some steps forward, essentially left us with the status quo, and one doesn't see the major nuclear power holders being moved to go on and work strenuously toward a world free of nuclear weapons. So something has to be done to mobilize opinion and put pressure on the world leaders that monopolize these weapons. That's why.
Thank you, Winston. I might just add that this issue is not just an issue of nuclear weapons. I tried to allude to it before. It's valid for the financial issue. It's certainly valid for the environmental issue. And I think that maybe one distinction at John's or Alan's comments, I guess, about the International Red Cross shows that there's a wider constituency here. The whole of global civil society has parallel interests in creating a mechanism by which the global commons or the global community can express itself. And so there's a possibility when we frame it in larger terms, in terms of legal representation and not just in the narrower terms of getting rid of these weapons, which we're all committed to, but it's possible when we frame it in the wider terms that we will be able to elicit a positive cooperative response from a much wider section of global society than those that are particularly committed on this specific issue, because then this represents the first in a series of referendums and the first in a series of efforts to try to evolve global rule of law. It was interesting last week when Eva and I were in Rotterdam, one of our fellows is also a former Anders Weichmann is also a former member of the European Parliament. And he commented that in the early days when the European Parliament was originally formulated, it was widely perceived that it had no power, that it was just a figurehead organization, and that may have been true at that time. But over time, from that formal beginning, it has evolved to the point where essentially it controls about 50% of the power in Europe. And the decision-making power, the other, of course, that is 50% of what the European Union has, the rest being with the European Commission. And I think it's important for us to look at this in an evolutionary way as a step. And there Laszlo's model helped me because it makes clear the first step is not legal. The first step is social, and seems to be more that we can do socially in order to help that the social movement evolve into a political movement, and the political movement codify itself as law.